Hey, hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to our first session in Houses 9 and 10, working with transformation of fear into its healthy role, which is that of practical action. Let's talk about Houses 9 and 10. We're entering the juicy phases of the universal realm. Houses 9 through 12 are considered to be, I like to think of it as like the realm of unity, more so than universal, but it's a time often where our attention can turn to how it is we fit into the universe, not necessarily as like your personal thing that you're up to, but to see the larger picture and to understand that we're actually one of many and we're here as a part of humanity, and that we potentially have the opportunity as well to see here to wake up to the understanding that life is actually not as personal as we make it out to be. So I was just talking off camera about transitioning through menopause, that's very alive in my world right now. And as we enter that phase of perimenopause, menopause, there or the second half of life, as it's sometimes also referred to by, I think, more masculine psychology people in that sort of orientation, anyways, that we enter the realm of, not having the resources dedicated to our family lives in the same way. And for those of us that had families, I didn't go that route. But if you did, your resources are shifted because your kids are likely getting closer to grown and at an age anyways where they're more stable and reliable and being able to take care of themselves to a great degree. That opens up resources for you to ponder, to contemplate, to understand your capacity to provide in a different way to yourself through service potentially to others. Is often a way that this phrase a phase of life is related to. And it gives us the possibility to, again, just understand that our identity isn't necessarily who we are. And there's more capacity to lay that down. Okay, so that's overall houses 9 through 12. Let's talk houses 9 and 10. 9 and 10, we're back to fire and earth elements. House 9 is very much about the pericardium, it's Sagittarius energy. It is very much free, expansive, enthusiastic. It's all about getting things moving. It's very much about having things healthily circulate through our system. And because of that, or in our lives, in our world, in our business, it's not a time of stagnation. This is not a time where things hold still. We're entering the fire horse year in, let's say, 6 days. I think the countdown has been on for many of us for a while, if you're anything like me. And that last few days of the snake year here are where we're releasing anything that isn't going to be supportive of that circulation. So it's time for things to release, to unburden from our system so that we can call to life a more sensual way of being, so that we can find eros in presence and just being alive. Yeah. This is also the house of Jupiter. Jupiter is very much about expansion, about growth, and it correlates to for us energy people in the house, which I'm pretty sure is all of us, our energetic expansion, our understanding of the world through our right brain. So it's not necessarily in a way that's logical. It ties into philosophy that's more not necessarily lateral logic or direct logic, but circular logic. And it works in a way of just thinking out of the box, essentially, is an easier way to say that. It's often a time where we consider our understanding of how does we relate to life itself as a whole, like the mystery of life, and finding our explanations of that, or coming to peace with the lack of explanation, perhaps more so because it's a right brain thing, is often through here. It can also go with some recklessness. It's a time where we take some risks. It's not a time where we play things overly safe. So it's not meant to be a time of predictability. Yeah. Okay. I don't think I said this. It's relating to the pericardium, which is the external lining of the heart. Sometimes it's called the heart constrictor meridian. So it's meant to give a boundary to the heart and to keep it safe, but not necessarily to turn it into a cage, which when we hit this territory, it's actually unburdening anything that's caging your heart and giving rise to realms of circulation that can bring you into contact in a healthy way with things that don't necessarily need to keep you locked down by fear. Okay. So if we've been hurt by love, if we are afraid to open up our hearts again, this is the time to open things back up again. And this is the time where we have the opportunity to unburden the holdings in your system. That'll usually go with feeling triggered in some way. So none of this is a smooth ride, and it's not supposed to be. And it's supposed to be in alignment with the understanding that you can only move through the triggers that you can, that you have the resources to do so inside of your system. So you've heard me say this before, but how curious can we be in this territory? And then doing different things like resourcing that we often start our session off with and keeping ourselves in good shape so we can in turn get curious about the triggers that are there and begin to unwind our personal story around them all. Okay, breath work is usually a really good stimulus for that realm too, or it can be. Sometimes breath work can be done for just straight up relaxation too. Anyways, house 10. I could talk a long time about all these. House 10 is the house of Capricorn. It's the house of your triple heater meridian. It's a meridian that doesn't have actual form. It doesn't correlate to a physical like structure, like a single structure in the body. It correlates in general to the process of taking things in the upper burner, digesting them in the middle burner, and releasing them in the lower burner. So there's a general correlation to the anatomy, upper, middle, lower of your body, but it doesn't have a specific, it works with this exact part of your system. Okay. Overall, it does, however, support your endocrines. So you know how the endocrine, how I say like the immune system is not a logical system of the body? Endocrines right up there, if not even more wildly so. Maybe that's just my personal take on things. But endocrines are very feminine in essence. They're the counterparts to your nervous system, and they govern all your hormones, which don't necessarily follow the rules of, we can override things, overthink things. They correlate to your feelings. So unless we're in touch with our feelings, our endocrines are often a state of chaos in a good, it's meant to be in a good way to get you in touch, to bring you back into synchronization and to integrate the things that you can't touch through rational, logical thinking or mind. And it's a way of creating an order and stability within the system that goes again beyond the level of having to think about something and put it into place. It's like, no, it doesn't deal with surface stuff and make sure that's in the body because this is Earth. Earth is very much in the body. Okay. This is also a sign in the house that supports our ambitiousness. It correlates to our career, our outward self-expression, our achievements, and our recognition. Okay, so our capacity to take in recognition is related here. It correlates to the house of Saturn, pardon me, the planets of Saturn. Saturn is very much about the, think of it as to a degree, the overly responsible masculine, yeah, energy. So it's an interesting setup here, given that the endocrines are kind of wild and work with what seem like below the level of the intellect, but it's meant to create that really sturdy foundational organization ultimately within your system. And within that, we come into alignment with our responsibilities. Where have we been overly responsible or over-functioning in our lives? Anybody? Anybody? I have all my hands up. Where do we have our expectations, and are they actually realistic of ourselves? Or are we learning to play within the parameters of the capacity that's in your system, in your body, throughout your life? How organized are we around that all? And within that, we come to wisdom. This comes interestingly into alignment with structure, and Saturn is very much about that masculine paternal influence and the structure. And within that, it creates limitation. It creates the struggle of us wanting to, be free and wild. And yet at the same time, we need the riverbank to channel the river and the current of that and your vitality in your life is what I'm going to amplify that to, correlate that to. And it gives it a sense of directionality. So it brings capacity for your creative energy to come to life, would be another way that we could play here. Okay, I'm going to jump on into it's a session. So that's essentially what we're exploring here. I'm going to invite you to potentially, even if you had a remodification of your intentions for today, just getting aware of that, getting in touch with that. All that information might have sparked some new things for you to be curious about. And to begin to breathe. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, it's even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in, to let it be lingered with. Let me invite you just to turn your attention to your space. External, you can do this internal if your eyes are closed and you want to stay inward. And the invitation is to let your gaze go for a wander throughout your space and to ultimately let it land on anything in particular that feels good, useful, juicy to be with. And it might not even be a thing. It might be like the way the light is shining. The way the light and the shadow play with each other. The edge of where light turns into shadow, shadow meets light. The negative space between something. Let me invite you just to notice once your gaze lands on one thing in particular, what are a few things that you like about that thing? See if you can name two or three qualities. And then I'm going to invite you to get in touch with those qualities by means of, on purpose, slowing down to savor them. See what it feels like to be present to those qualities. Notice what happens in your body as you do so. How does the body respond? Where do you feel it in your body? What does it feel like in your body? Slow this down to really notice and get in touch with it. As you continue to appreciate the thing that you're looking at, as well as the body and how it's responding, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that goes into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to the families that created you, the ancestors that created them, and the lineage that's holding it all. Thank you to this earth that holds us, giving us space to be received, to be nourished, to come into good relationship with the material world. Thank you to the sky above, giving us room to expand, insights to explore, whole new skies to vastly be with. Thank you to the fire that's carrying us just to the very edge of the beyond, the realm of the unknowable. Helping us to flirt with the mystery of life. And thank you to the water, anchoring us to our very core, our essence, holding us into our bones and our blood, what it is to be us, giving our emotions a place to be channeled, to land, and to energize our system with. Kausai to life. Okay, so interestingly enough, we're starting off with a cellular repair, which helps to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're doing it through the maternal line, through mom's side. We're going back six generations, and it's on the emotional frequency, not surprisingly, to fear, given that that's our theme for today. and we're looking at the fear of like being swallowed up alive by the world. And it's going to that part in life where you actually don't have as many responsibilities, and there isn't quite a new thing that's come in to take its place. And there's a sense of almost like feeling like a void. For some people, it can go with also a sense of like it's just pure chaos. So the void and chaos are very, very related. They're very closely in, I'm just gonna say in relationship with each other. And there's meant to be like chaos is like meant to be the place where it's like pre-gestational. It's like all the possibilities are here. It's meant to be primordial. It's meant to be this place where anything can come through and can happen in a way that's going to be in alignment with what your system is prepared to hold. It's not going to like rip through you and toss you into some amount of something that is not doable for you to be with. It can sometimes feel like overwhelming at times, but it's not going to be to a point where it pushes us to the point of complete and utter annihilation. Okay? But that's the fear. That's the fear that we're working with. And because of that, there's a little bit of this like, I'm just gonna hold life off at bay. And that creates tension in and around the heart space because it's not actually letting us live in alignment with trust in life. It's not letting us live in alignment with our own power, our own capacity, our own capability, what we're actually wired for. So unless we let life in to animate us thoroughly, we actually never come into touch with our fullest edge. And like the stuff that keeps it at bay, it usually shows up not necessarily through intellectual clarity, but it's going to show up through your feelings and the feelings that are like, that really pissed me off. That really triggered me. I don't like this. I don't like that. So the invitation is to, as we run this cellular repair, it'll be for the heart. And to pay attention over the next coming days, in particular week, until we meet again. So I'm going to say the triggers that are really consistently pissing you off, the sort of the stronger ones. There might be some mild annoyances as well in there, the things that just like really kind of bug you. And you can even just keep a diary. Just do it for like a day even. You don't even need to do it for all 6 days, but even just for like a day. What was the thing that bothered you? And then the second part to this is the most important part. The most important part to this is where did you feel it in the body? What did it feel like? And becoming like a sensory sommelier of what's happening inside of your body and coming into touch, coming into alignment with where things are happening for you. There's really juicy information for that. And ignoring it is kind of like, imagine having like your body is like a cast of kids. Ignoring the body and its responses in that way and becoming just vague and like, yeah, that bothers me. It's somewhere in the body. I don't even know. I don't have time to slow down and be with that. It's kind of like saying to a whole group of kids that you have in your, let's say, daycare and going like, yeah, just take care of things on your own. I'm not gonna be the adult there with you. You just figure that all out. I gotta go run some errands. And then like abandoning the daycare kids in the home while you go out and do the other things. So I'm gonna invite us to instead, take a moment to just notice what's happening within the cast of characters that are related to your triggers. And I'm going to suggest they're all tied into times in early life where something just didn't feel like it was hitting the mark. Okay? Something felt like there was a need missing or there was a lack of protection. There was something that didn't go well. And as you begin to notice it, the simple act of turning your attention to it is enough to be like, oh wow, somebody cares. Somebody's here with me, and I get to be well taken care of again. Somebody else is here. I don't have to carry this all on my own. And in this way, we begin to get in touch not only with ourselves and our inner world, but somehow through that process, it translates eventually into outer world and being equally in touch with your outer world. Because as we do one, we can't help but have the other eventually come into alignment with that. This is not a practice that just happens for a day or 6 days. I'm gonna invite you to do it in a very structured way and then to carry it into the rest of life. So beyond the realm of the structured assignments. And the more we do that, the more the cells in the heart and the heart space and the pericardium that surrounds it begin to come into aliveness. They begin to come into connection, and contact with our world becomes a little bit easier to tolerate. and ultimately, potentially over time, even come into a state of enjoyment or pleasure. So as we run that cellular repair in the heart, we're going to also run hydration through your blood vessels, and it's in particular through the arteries. As we run hydration here, it's helping for the lining of the arteries to take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And we think of the shape of anxiety. Anxiety creates contraction and fear, all the elements of fear. So fear has a lot of other names that go with it. It's a really broad spectrum. The 50 faces of fear is something that we could honestly tie into this all and beyond that too. There's many shades to this. So anxiety is a part of it. And all the elements of fear, they have to some degree some shape of contraction. And it's meant to actually be like a break in a good way. And that break is meant to also, believe it or not, somehow feel good in the end. So, not getting hit by a bus, the fear that we have to not step in front of a bus is going to make us feel good because then we're not dealing with the pain of getting hit by a bus, as a really obvious example. Same thing in your day-to-day lives. So the fear of interacting with that person or saying that thing to somebody that you always want to, maybe not openly, honestly admit to. If we can look at what's actually behind that, for some reason in your system, it's doing it for a really good reason because it thinks that's how it's supposed to feel good. And then that was formed when you were like small, when you were like 2 or 3. So the question becomes, is that still as the case was back then? Or has anything in life changed between when you were small and when you are big? And do you have other resources, capacities, capabilities? So the system is meant to, over time, begin to reevaluate that. And it only does so with our direct curiosity and attention. It doesn't just happen. Yeah? So it's part of being an adult and transitioning into the second half of life, or third, if we want to call it that. So as we work within that frame, that hydration is working with the shape of fear that's overly contracting the blood vessels and helping to just reevaluate that, like sometimes drawing in is healthy and sometimes it's actually not as supportive to what we thought it was. So it's just helping to reevaluate that. And it's utilizing then the energy that liberates around the emotion of fear to be used in a good way, to actually orient you to being in contact with people in your world in a way that's honoring resonance. So it's like the capacity to stay open, find resonance with somebody, and then move that direction versus thinking through the intellect of this is exactly what has to happen in all my ways of being in the world with other people. And all of that is linking into the blood vessels in the upper body, in particular through the upper burner, in around the head and the neck. So the head and the neck have an extremely intricate blood supply. And there's a really cool thing that happens in the head brain. You're probably going to hear me talk about it a lot. It is a circle of blood vessels and it's a circle of arteries. And this doesn't happen anywhere in the body. This is like extremely rare for this to happen. And there's one in your brain. It's called the circle of Willis. And through here, we have, I like to think of it as like the wedding ring, the circle that conducts all of our, it's like a container for our vitality of life to wed us to the divine, the mystery, whatever our word is for this, God, Buddha, Allah, pick a term for it all. I love all of them. And whatever that thing is, the capacity to hold that in our system as a knowingness, not necessarily that you know it, but that there's a knowingness about it, that it's there's a felt sense of something in the system that correlates to vitality or aliveness. And it's meant to channel that through the upper burner, is my take on this. Yeah. So all that to say, whenever we have sort of cranky fascia in our system through our neck, through our jaw, which is a really big place that happens like a lot, and then it can begin to sort of like shut down how the blood flow is being distributed, and in turn, how it is we're facing things, whether we're bottlenecking things, or whether we're opening up into the expansion of what life's vitality is here to offer us. So as we work with the hydration through here in this way, it's helping to again reevaluate this whole pattern of how does you've been in contact with other people and how if that's been invigorating or if that's been a sense of like I really have to like be cautious about this. And it's evaluating the old hurts that you've had in relationship to that that's been creating this like sense of walling off. We're gonna run a Sidri on that old hurt pattern is how I'm gonna sum that all up. And as we work with this, it's going to also run for the next 6 days until just before we meet again. Which will also be the day, interestingly enough, of the when that Chinese New Year is, when the year of the fire horse begins. So C is our first part of our Sidri here that we're going to work with. So it's actually working for the structure of blood vessels and how the fascias then in turn organize and whether things are constricted or expanded. So that's what the Sidri is running on. And that's all again related to that pattern of hurt interactions with other people. You may have even someone come to mind. It's not about that person, it's about where you learned that pattern from. And that happened in early life. That was learned somewhere, okay, in early life. So C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety. They help to move through depression in some new and interesting ways. And they also work with not just the nervous system and the immune system, but really anywhere there's a cell alive in the body. So endocannabinoids are rife. They're everywhere in the system. Okay. We're also working with balancing the yin, the feminine aspect that brings in nourishment, and the masculine, the yang, that gives that sense of a protection, which is meant to be permeable. It's meant to give structure, not rigidity. The two are very different. Okay. And then we're working with the circulation of our water, bringing in like another round of hydration, helping the cells take in water and joy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains gets to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting into rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. As we do all of that, we're gonna run one more cellular repair, and it's going into the brainstem. Okay, and it's actually working with brainstem does a lot of things. I was just scanning my notes. And working with a particular quality of the brainstem, which works with giving you a sense of a balance. It's meant to organize your perception of your environment, which helps to again give you a sense of a balance. And as we run the cellular repair through there, it can also support anytime we have challenges of sleeping. Or insomnia, sleep apnea, anything that gets in the way of sleeping. It's like there's something on in the brainstem that just won't turn off to supportively allow you to fully rest or to relax. We're linking it into the other organs. I'm going to say a balance. There's probably a few more here. But the notable ones are the ear. And it's like working with the cochlea, which conducts the sound. And we're going into time frames in life in which things were just too fucking loud. They were just really too fucking loud. Things that maybe were on the TV, on the radio. Maybe your parents came home late one night, slightly intoxicated or a lot intoxicated, and started to make a lot of noise, whether that was with, TV, radio, or just the volume of their voices. Maybe they had an angry fight. Maybe something in the world happened around you that wasn't even related to family life. Maybe it happened at school, or maybe on your in your general environment. But there was a sense of time frames in which sound was too much. It became a sense of like sound actually isn't safe. Sound isn't safe, which drove into a state of a freeze response, a sense of isolation, a sense of I gotta shut down. I gotta pull myself back. I gotta hold myself in. And I'm not allowed to, excuse me, let my system really be held here through sound as it's meant to. Sound is actually meant to be perceptible. And if you can't hear anything outwardly, there's sounds in the body that you can hear. There's also thought to be the sound of the universe, like the pulse of life itself is thought to have a sound. So if we're really quiet, we might even hear that. I used to hear it as a kid in a way where it felt like it actually felt like musical as a kid. And I would tell my mom, like, I can hear music. Like, what's the sound? I don't understand. Like, there's nothing on. And it was like, dad was at work, mom was reading her book, everything was quiet. My sister wasn't even born yet. And our house was generally still. She was like, is that the furnace? I'm like, no, I can hear the furnace. This is not the furnace. And then she was like, oh, that's probably the next door neighbor. She likes to play the organ. So I used to track it. And to be honest, I'm deaf in one ear, so I shouldn't be able to hear that far away anyways. And then the sound of the organ was not it either, because I would notice that the neighbors weren't even home. This was happening when they were on holidays and we were watching their house for them. So I didn't know what that was. I didn't have a frame of reference for it. So I'll mention it now just in case anything like that's ever happened for you and you've never had a reference for it. That's actually a healthy thing to hear if you've ever been in touch with that. It may not sound like the organ playing. It might just not even be musical. It might sound just like a hum. Some people hear it as bells. Some people hear it as just like a tonality. So there's different states of subtle levels of hearing that people are aware of this through. So as you hear that, as you hear all of the things, not just the sound of the universe, there may be some things that jog to mind. And we're going to work with the memories that came alive for you that said it wasn't safe to hear that. And maybe you even asked somebody about them, like maybe you at one point were a kid and you could hear that thing and it got dismissed or shut down. And you got out of touch with that. You didn't actually feel held by the universe. Maybe you just didn't feel safe at home. Maybe you just didn't feel safe in your world because of the incapacity to register sound and felt out of balance. Yeah. This is linking your sense of hearing, physical and subtle, into, in particular, your favorite pieces of music. You probably have more than one, but your favorite pieces of music. And then it's working with that as a resource to help to release, to let go of the old memories of sound being abusive, painful, intrusive. Anything that made sound feel like an attack of any sort that had to be walled or protected against. Yeah. And as we do that, we're releasing adhesions around the brainstem that are registering that sense of balance. It's almost like the sound sort of like yanked the fascia in directions and created a knot in the system around the brainstem that was stabilizing this all. We're just going to begin to massage that to release its holdings. And adhesions happen in multiple directions. They run through the fascia, not just in one directionality, but in multiple ways. It's kind of like an intricate web. And we're going to work with all of that. Okay. Okay, love. I'm going to invite you to imagine that we can link that into the soles of the feet. And then, as we go to the soles of the feet, which to some degree also have receptors that relate to balance, they give feedback to the other parts of your whole system that are also regulating that balance and saying like, yeah, this isn't stable, or ah, that's not stable. Think of it as like the feet have the repository of information of all the times that you felt in life like things were just not stable. So where in life do things feel not stable? As I say that, you might even notice a part of your body, they sort of go like, kick. Or there might even be a part of your body that was sore before you came on this call. So where in your life do things not feel stable? Notice your body. I'll say it one more time. Where do things in your life not feel stable? And as we work with it, as it comes alive in your system, we're looking at, in particular, the way that your psyche fragmented around those times of instability. Times in which that fear said, shut this down. This is too much for you to take in. Wall that off. Don't hold that down in. And it's linking into the digestive system as a whole that says, I don't want to take that in. I can't take that in. I can't digest that. I can't move through this. Not a chance. And it's impacting the entire triple heater meridian. And in turn, it's linking to your endocrine system and creating instability within the endocrines. Okay, love. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. Again, the endocrines are all of your hormones, all the organs that, the glands that release them, all the sites where they act throughout the whole body, and the movements of the actual hormone throughout the system. Honestly, we could probably do a whole year just on the endocrine system. And I haven't spoken to this yet, but I'm going to throw it in now as I come to the end of this tap out. I know that it's included in this tap out. That the endocrines that we know about in Western science are one thing. And then there is a whole nother level of anatomy that people are working with. Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen is that like the pioneer, the frontier of this realm. God bless that lady. She's just so dialed in on so many levels. And she has a capacity of understanding and seeing into the body through her years of movement and dance. And I'm going to suggest her spidey senses are pretty energetically on point. She has tuned into a number of structures in the body that basically act like endocrines that other people aren't necessarily talking about in terms of Western medicine functionality, yet they literally circulate and hold energy and information the exact same way the endocrine glands do. I'm going to include all of those, all the ones that Western science goes to as like the basic ones, including the ones in the body talk chart that we talk about, and all of the other ones. This is why we could spend like a whole year just on the endocrine. Okay. As we tap all that out, the system's just asking for a couple of extra breaths, so feel free to give it that space to do just that. Was that a clapping and praying for endocrines for a whole year, Sherry? Because I'm with you. Okay. Vote received. Thank you. Okay. I feel like I'm in general at a time where similar to everybody else in that liminality and coming into this new season. And my astrology lines up with not just the fire horse, but I'm in a general new 12-year cycle as I move into through my own astrology chart, new territory. And yeah, I have all these like new ideas of like I could do this, I could do that, I do all these things. So my brain loves to create ideas. I swear, in my younger years, I thought I should open up a website called ideas.com, and if people were stuck on ideas, I could just give them ideas. So right now, I'm in the middle of sitting with like so many different ideas and a lot of the things that are alive. So I have a few options for next year's Buddhas and Butterflies percolating, and if you have any ones that you're feeling called to, I know we spoke about next year being in relationship to flow. And I'm still very open to heading that direction as well. And if you have any other votes for anything else, let me know. Endocrines would be included within flow as well. Okay, loves. Our next bit of the formula has arrived. We're actually heading into the eighth house, and we're looking at any, so I'm going to call it almost like a residue that's in the way of transitioning into the ninth house. It's not allowing the ninth house to take hold. And the eighth house is like, in essence, kind of like holding it back. It's like creating extra drag on the system. So the eighth house is correlating to the kidney meridians, which work with fear. So we could say this in a very plain language of like, where is fear holding you back from ninth house expansion? And in general, working with the planetary energy of Mars, and Mars has a lot of drive to it. And sometimes we can have a fear of letting go of our drive before we enter a state of things just happening with greater ease and creating expansion in our world without you having to like really dig for it. There's a term called convexity, and it's used in science, it's used in business. I think it might even be used in like glasses, like yeah, it's used in eyewear as well as like magnifying glasses. And it's this idea where just something little can actually open up and create expansion and create a lot of traction into something big. So we're actually working with just that. We're working at releasing the fear that basically things have to happen through you overdoing, overfunctioning, gnawing yourself to the bone. And I don't know very many humans that don't have this. This is a pretty universal thing. And it often creates limitations in our capacity to even imagine something different happening in our life. So our mind is so busy with like, well, what if? What if I don't do that? This could happen, that could happen. And the thing is we actually just don't know. So this is an invitation for you to look at where in your life, and it can be small, where in your life is there something that you can actually just stop doing? You know, and just something just tiny. Not in a way that creates deprivation or sacrifice, but just notice where you're like really going to town on things. Where could you like just lighten up ever so slightly? You know, like does the laundry always have to be done perfectly every Monday? Or what happens if it like slips into like Tuesday? You know, and maybe that creates other problems. It doesn't have to be laundry. I'm just giving you an example. Like pick something different in your life. Pick something that, but that's sort of the line of thinking that we're working at, because there's this idea that if we delay on something, that's going to cause all these other problems. But we also don't know what that might bring. There might be something in that chaos that creates a new sense of aliveness within some other territory. Okay, so as we work with that all, the mind might be at a bit of tension. That's not a bad thing. Think of that tension in there as just giving your attention to your thoughts. And if it feels overwhelming in some way, then come back to your resource that you found earlier. I trust that whatever that thing is will find you. Another way we could say this is like, have you ever like played hooky? Have you ever like taken a, it's hard to take a snow day when it's spring all the time here, but something along those lines. Like, what happens if you actually just, you know, slack just a little bit? And as you turn towards the part of you that is like your inner slacker, your unproductive part, another way you could honor that is like, don't do it at 100%, just do it at 70%. You don't have to give it your all. You can actually just like tame that down just a little bit more and it'll still work just as well, perhaps even better. It might even prevent some burnout down the road. Yay for that. Okay, so be mindful of that. Tune into whatever that's happening within your own system. And make sure it doesn't slide into the territory of just shutting your feelings down and not worrying about it. It's not so much about an opportunity to just go like and check out with your feelings. It's actually an opportunity to on purpose experiment with doing something not at 100% and notice how you feel about that. It might bring some interesting things up for you. And whatever that brings up, I trust is juicy, good information for you to explore. Amongst all of that, we're going to run lymphatic drainage. We're going to work with the relationship between the kidney meridian and the pericardium meridian. And the kidney meridian traverses right around the heart space. Pericardium is all the way through and around the heart space as well. So it's looking at, excuse me, it's looking at lymphatic drainage through the region of the center of the chest. Draining out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing that happen to be in that area, creating, I'm going to say, energetic congestion. That's riding on the back of not feeling like you're lovable. Feeling like love is painful and you have to like shut down your heart to that. Times in which someone that you loved broke your heart. Times in which you felt really rejected by one person, a group of people, someone that you thought was so aligned with you and yet somehow just wasn't. And as we do that, we're also working with grief along with fear of connection. Okay. As we work with that territory, it's often a tender place. It's often related to a young one that actually first had their heart broken. It's actually going back into times around your first loves and things not going as first loves never do, to plan. This like that first person you loved when you were a kid. You know, when I was 4 and I had that crush on my next door neighbor. I was just like so meaningful. Yeah. It didn't work out. And I mean, thank goodness. We're still connected on Facebook. So I say that with a lot of like, whew, relief and updating my system. And it doesn't mean that it still wasn't painful when I was 4. So we're working with that tenderness that learns for the first time that sometimes you know, the loss of love can create pain. And things that are beautiful might not always come to, you know, last. There may be an impermanence to life. That beautiful things sometimes die. I'm going to invite you, if you haven't already, to place a hand on your heart. And if you're open to doing two hands, I'm going to invite you to put your left hand down first, your right hand over top of that. And just literally let that part of you come back into contact with what it is to be held. What is it to be held? And as you hold in this way that little one that needed somebody there with them, as you offer your care, your guidance, your stewardship. Notice how the body receives, what happens within the body, what feelings are here, and the invitation to just simply be with them, to breathe here with them. And as you do this, it's like you're letting them know that there's nothing that they need to do. That they actually just simply get to rest. And as we slow way down, there gets to be a rebalancing in your system. You get to come back into balance. And the system begins to learn. Like this part of you learns, it doesn't have to carry this all on its own. And the system learns, doesn't have to be such a bad thing to slow down to feel this, because there's actually support here. There's support here to feel this. It begins to learn the cost, the true cost of that control. Begins to learn that true cost of that control, of having to do it all on your own. That often comes with a lot of feeling in the body, tension, pain, ache, emotions, tenderness, rawness, vulnerability. And if you're feeling that, I'm going to suggest that you're right on point, you're right on schedule. You've got everything you need to be here with us, and it's time. Your system has what it's needing to be here with us all right now. As we do that, we're working with the platform of the diaphragm. And it was almost like the diaphragm was being pulled forward. It's almost like the whole upper body was kind of like hunched forward in fetal position. As it comes back up, the diaphragm muscle begins to become, it doesn't get the front part pulled down. It begins to come to solid platform. The system begins to slowly remember what it is to have reliability, solidity, healthy Saturn masculine energy, holding it, giving it healthy structure, which isn't rigidity or punishment or aggressiveness. So it's actually what it is to be held in healthy ways. We're gonna tap it out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. Giving that a round of breath. Coming back to the resource if you are feeling unsteady in any way. Got a 4-minute song right on point with our theme today, actually, called Carry This All by Alexandra Blakely. I'll put the link in the chat feature momentarily. Okay, invitation to breathe and to receive and to rest, holding your heart, if that feels good to be with, for the next few minutes as well.
You do not carry this all alone. No, you do not carry this all alone. This is way too big for you to carry this on your own. So you do not carry this all alone. You do not carry this all alone. No, you do not carry this all alone. This is way too big for you to carry this on your own. So you do not carry this all alone. Carry this all alone. You do not carry this all alone. This is way too big for you to carry this on your own.
Chat feature, safe to listen. Indeed. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. Kelsai to life. If anyone needs any additional support, feel free to hang out. And I'm going to stop the recording here and wish you all a beautiful rest of your day and week ahead. Happy Chinese New Year. Bye for now.